Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Jake Lyman is in with us today. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Jared. How are you?
Outstanding. It is Canada Day after all. Happy Canada Day to everybody out there and all who celebrate. And happy NHL free agency to, once again, all whom celebrate. And I did see Bob McKenzie has reported that the Nashville Predators have made a signing. Nick Perbix, a big right shot defenseman, $2.75 million on a two-year contract, which is not a long term. It's not a lot of money. And again, he is a right shot defenseman. He played in 70-something games last year, so he plays. And he actually had a positive plus minus. Now, when you play on the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's probably a lot easier to have a positive plus minus. But for whatever reason, he has a positive plus minus. So that's good. Let's put him off to the side for a second because, again, that's a $2.75 million contract when Evan Bouchard's out here signing for $10 million. You know, it's not nothing, but it's a smaller deal, and that's okay. But let's put that to the side for a second because Robbie Stanley tweeted something out yesterday that I have got to start this show on. So Robbie was just listening to his favorite program, Stillman & Company, Killing Time, before Preds development camp yesterday, and he put out what he thought the lines were as of yesterday. Now, we'll have to make a change here. We'll have to adjust here in a second, but follow along. Robbie's first line, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault. His second line, Stamkos, Svechkov, and Evangelista. His third line, Michael Bunting, Eric Halla, and Joakim Kimmel. And his fourth line, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Zachary Leroux. His defensive pairings, Willsby and Josi on the right side, on his first pair, Willsby. Shea and Michael Barron on the second pair, with Barron on the right side. And then Nick Hague, who was signed yesterday, and Tanner Mullendijk on the third pair, with Mullendijk, a left shot, on the right side. Now, let's say, you know, Perbix is probably going in, and if I had to guess, he's going to slide in next to Brady Shea. So I'm going to guess Brady Shea plays the left side, Nick Perbix plays the right side, they'll figure out a left shot pair for Roman Josi, and then Hague on that third pair. But again, going by Robbie's lines, and let's just make the assumption, I should ask Robbie about this before I take his work doctorate and say these are Robbie's lines. I'm going to assume that he's taking Willsby out of the lineup, and he's putting Perbix with Shea and Barron with Josi. So Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista, Bunting, Halla, Kemmel, Smith, McCarron, LaRue, Josi, Barron, Shea, Perbix, Hague, Mullendijk, Juuse Saros in net, Eustace Annanen in goal. Now, I would expect if this were me, Ozzie Weisblatt might be in there over Joakim Kimmel, but that's a minor detail. The reason I wanted to start off on these lines, even if you add Nick Perbix into the group, who I will get to in a second, I said to Robbie when I saw that tweet yesterday that those were the lines that he was expecting as of right now. And granted, free agency is not over, and the trade market is not finished either. But when I saw him run down those lines yesterday, I texted Robbie and I said, if that is the opening night lineup, Andrew Burnett is gone by November 1st. Because that is not a competitive team. And again, for the exercise and going over all of this, adding a $2.75 million right shot defenseman does not change you from a non-competitive team to a competitive team, though I do actually like the Perbix move, which we'll get to. At first, I was going to say they had too many left shot defensemen, but I still worry that even with the addition of Perbix, based off of what Barry Trotz said on the program last week, they're still probably going to move their best player, Roman Josi, and your top defensive prospect playing on their weak sides, Tanner Mullendijk and Roman Josi. Fedor Svechkov and Luke Evangelista on Robbie's second line combined last year for 49 points. Again, on the second line. The hope is that each guy can produce 49 points or more. Would be nice. Much more, actually. So what they have right now And again, I am recognizing that free agency is only just beginning. But what they have right now is not good enough. If they're trying to win right now, which they have said that they are. Which takes me to today. The opening of free agency. The way to better your team. Have you seen who is available in free agency? I mean, I keep seeing names go off the board, and I've got all my guys on my phone, the Pierre LeBron and Bob McKenzie and all these guys. I've got them, you know, notifications pop up on my phone when they send out a tweet. So when they send out a tweet saying so-and-so got signed, I'm like, he kind of sucks. And there's a lot of players that I've been looking at and throughout this free agency process where I'm like, they kind of suck. For instance, The Athletic has their big board out. And guess who is one of the top players, the fourth best player entering today on the free agent market? Mikhail Granlund. Hate to say it, he's a bum. Which takes me to, again, today. I see names being traded. Victor Arvidsson to Boston. Victor Arvidsson has been absolute toast for the last 5 years. And he's having to waive a no-trade clause to go to Boston. Which tells you what is not available for teams right now. So with free agency, it looks awful on paper. This team looks awful on paper when you write it down, even adding in Perbix, which again is a signing that I think I like. The coach last year, who is going to be the coach at least at the beginning of this year, never got through to the team and yet kept his job. And there are, again, not a lot of quality free agents out there, especially at the real positions you need, like center. So what do the Predators do? They've said they want to be competitive. But again, there's really no answer here as far as keeping Fedor Svechkov off the second-line center position until he gets, you know, better. So I think there are two choices for the Predators. The first is to run it back with a team that is going to look a lot like last year's team. Yes, Sissons is out, but he's replaced by Eric Halla. Yes, Jeremy Lauzon is out, but he's replaced by Nick Hague. Yes, Alexander Carrier and Dante Fabbro are out, but they're replaced by Nick Perbix. Run it back with roughly a similar team and hope that the 2024-2025 Nashville Predators, who lost 52 games last year, who had 68 points and a seventh-place finish, was just a complete mirage and the Predators are actually, you know, good. Or start loading it up with young guys. So instead of putting Justin Barron or Adam Willsby on defense, it's Andrew Gibson. Instead of Fedor Svechkov as the second line center, it's Brady Martin right out of the chute. And so I have to ask myself, what are the Predators going to do? Again, your options are run it back with roughly the same team you had last year, or put the young guys in there. Mullendyke, Gibson, Martin, again, the guys that really have high-end talent. Maybe Kimmel. And it sounds like the Predators are going to try to do both. When I hear Barry Trotz tell people, hey, you'll see David Edstrom up here this season. Hey, you'll see Joakim Kimmel up here this season. That doesn't really sound like a plan to get a hockey team that never really bonded last year, never gelled for whatever reason on the ice. They never gelled. They never played cohesive hockey. That doesn't really feel like the answer. Yeah, you're going to go up there and you're going to play some, and then you're going to go down, and then you're going to go up there and you're going to play some, and then you're going to... Again, that doesn't sound like the answer. So here we are. It's July 1. The Predators just made a free agent signing. And again, it's not a free agent signing that I, by any stretch of the imagination, am against. But it does feel that as we sit here on this Canada Day, there's not a lot of hope to be had for the 2025-2026 Predators, whom, again, they say they're trying to win with, whom they say they want to be competitive with. But if I may borrow a silver lining here, let's turn back the clock a year. On July 1st, at this point, Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea were signed. The Predators had just lost in the first round in six games to the Vancouver Canucks, and the real reason they lost that series, they were abysmal on the power play. And they had just signed arguably one of the best power play players in the history of the NHL, coming off of a 40-goal season. And yet, once again, they lost 52 games. They had 68 points. They finished in seventh place in the Central Division. They were the 30th best hockey club. So long story short, I don't know if I have the answers as far as how to fix the Predators. I have ideas, but I don't know if I have the answers or not. But the one thing I do know, this time last year, we thought we had the answers and we thought they had the answers. And how'd that work out for them? So let's not get too worked up on July 1st. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in your reaction so far to the start of free agency to, again, this team that is in front of me right now. And Robbie Stanley, oh my, I asked him about his lines. I said, Robbie, you know, again, I said, we talked about his lines. Robbie tells me what he thinks is going to happen with his lines. We'll get to that. Plus, we do need to touch on the Nick Perbix addition. We will do that. 615-737-1025. It is Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Nick Perbix is a 27-year-old defenseman who has spent the past three seasons with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. He was a late bloomer. He was a sixth-round pick in 2017, but he did not sign, or excuse me, he did not debut with the Tampa Bay Lightning until 2022. So in his three seasons in Tampa Bay, he played 69 games, 77 games, and 74 games. He's a right-handed defenseman.
Finally.
Hallelujah, if you're a Predators fan. He is a right-handed defenseman. He played a mostly third-pairing role for the Lightning last season. But unlike Nick Hague, Nick Perbix two seasons ago was Victor Hedman's number one defensive partner. Victor Hedman, future Hall of Fame defenseman, number one defenseman for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Nick Perbix has experience playing with a top defenseman. So I could easily see Nick Perbix playing with Roman Josi on the top pair. I really like this signing. I think Nick Perbix fills an absolute need.
Okay, Barry Trotz, who has done very, very little right in the eyes of Adam Vingan, hits one out of the park with a guy that Adam Vingan absolutely wanted him to sign in Nick Perbix. I mean, Adam was basically doing cartwheels when he read off that Bob McKenzie announced that the Predators were signing Nick Perbix. And again, the cap hit is $2.75 million. And as Adam said right there, he was a defensive partner for Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman, last time I checked, pretty good in Tampa Bay. Now, as far as what Robbie Stanley said about his lines, in which I thought his line combinations would lead to, from yesterday, before they signed Perbix, I thought would lead to Andrew Burnett being fired by November 1st. He says if he had to adjust his lines, his defense pairs were Willsby and Josi, Shea and Barron, Hague and Molendijk. He says Molendijk goes down to Milwaukee, which means Willsby. Oh, Willsby is still in the lineup, according to Robbie Stanley. Let me just say this. Willsby sucks. That said, I do believe that the Predators, as of right now, it's just me because Barry Trotz was on our show last week and we asked him about the defensive pairings and he said we're going to find probably a right shot partner for Brady Shea. I'm thinking that Nick Perbix is going to be Brady Shea's partner. So they will flip Josi over to the left, to the right side. My guess is just based off the money, it'll probably be Nick Hague playing up with Roman Josi. Then it'll be Brady Shea playing alongside on the second pair, but it's really your first defensive pair alongside Nick Perbix. And then they'll put one of their many left shot defensemen next to Justin Barron on the third pair. Think Willsby and Barron or Mullendyke on the left side, and Barron something like that. Barron kind of stinks. Here's my issue. Again, how can you really be upset with a team that, as of this morning, it looked like was going to have five left-shot defensemen out of their six NHL starting D? So you can't be upset that they signed a right-shot defenseman, which they absolutely had to sign, and they had been getting raked over the coals for what had happened with Dante Fabbro, and maybe rightfully so. So you can't be upset about that. And you can't be upset about the fact that it's a $2.75 million AAV on the two-year cap hit, because $2.75 million is truly negligible money. Here's my problem. You know I got to have a problem, right? Here's my problem. If Nick Perbix is a right-shot defenseman at 27 years old, and as Adam pointed out, his 27th birthday was last month, so he is a young 27. He will play next year at 27 years old. If he is a 27-year-old, big, tall, right-shot defenseman who played on the first pair with Victor Hedman, why is he only signing for $2.75 million? Shouldn't he be signing instead of a two-year 275? Shouldn't he be signing for 5 years and $5.5 million? Again, everybody yesterday, Vingan and Robbie and all the hockey heads, everybody on Twitter, everybody said, Nick Hague sucks. Again, I didn't say that. They said it, but I'll take their word for it. So if Nick Hague is $5.5 million for a less valuable, easier to find left shot, then why is this guy, who's not a pending RFA, this guy could have signed with anybody in the league, and he's only $2.75 million for a right shot defenseman, and he supposedly plays first pair minutes with Victor Hedman? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And for instance, people were giving credit again to the Predators on Twitter, you know, these analytic hockey sites that Adam loves to use. They were sitting there and they were saying things like, hey, you know, this is probably the exact right amount of money to give Nick Perbix. This is probably how much he's worth. Well, what I've learned about unrestricted free agency, really across all sports, but especially the NHL on July 1, if a guy's value, according to the analytics gurus, is $2.75 million, on July 1, that guy's going to sign for $6 million. Because how many times are there contracts that are signed that are, whoa! And finally, and Jake, stop me if I've already said this today, Nick Perbix does not pass the Mikhail Granlin rule.
I was going to say, did you know who he was before this?
No clue. And it is a rule that I believe in, that if I do not know who somebody is, then I assume that they suck. I feel like I watch enough hockey. I don't watch every game. I'm sorry, I don't have league pass. I also don't watch every playoff game. So if I've got something better to do, I am not going to watch a second round matchup between the LA Kings and the Winnipeg Jets. Sorry, busy. But I do feel like I watch enough hockey. I watch the Predators play pretty much every night. And on top of watching the Predators play, when it gets a little bit later in the playoffs, I watch that. So I feel like I should know most of the good players. So I've never heard of this Nick Perbix before. Never. So other than my pure skepticism, my pure ignorance on who this guy is, and then my skepticism of the position he plays, the age he is, and the money he's going to be paid, I have to think he stinks. Most notably, because, again, a right-shot defenseman who's any good probably goes for at least $4 million on an AAV. And this guy isn't even $4 million. This guy is $2.75 on a two-year deal. Now, I get why he would do it, because the cap is going to explode. So the Florida Panthers, here's what I've realized the Florida Panthers have done. This is brilliant. They're not going to pay Brad Marchand for 6 years. They're not. He's not going to be on the team at 45 years old. That's not going to be the issue. What's going to happen is the Florida Panthers, they're going to buy out all these guys once they get too long in the tooth. And the cap will have exploded, so when you spread out the buyout money for all these guys, they'll be able to absorb it, plus they'll stink anyways, so they'll suck it up and deal with it. They are mortgaging the future for now, and I get it. And I understand why Perbix would go for a two-year deal at $275 as opposed to wanting a more guaranteed three-year, four-year deal, because when the cap explodes, if this guy's any good, he goes back into free agency at 29 years old, and that $2.75 million will be $7 or $8 million. At least that's what they say it should be like. So I get it from his standpoint. And I get it from the Predators' standpoint, too. I mean, the Predators, again, they're not trying to break the bank on any free agent signings. They've been there, done that. They did that last year. But I've never heard of this guy, which is usually a bad sign. Though for defensemen, you know, they get a little bit of a pass because they don't score. So it's not like I watch them just kill the Predators goal after goal after goal. And he plays in Tampa. They don't play the Predators very often. But at the same time, if this guy is good, and like Adam said, if he's going to play on the right, if he's going to play on the right side, and Yossi's going to play the left side, and that's going to be your top pair, and he's only making $2.75 million at 27 years old, holy crap, you got to steal. But in a league where everybody gets paid more money than they should on July 1, he only got $2.75. So somebody explain that one to me. That's all I ask. Other than that, I am not going to complain about a right shot D at 275. I mean, again, what I've learned about this league, if you can flip Tanner Jeannot and get the hole that you got, you can flip anybody for anything, especially if they've got an expiring contract. And for this guy, if he's any good, then he'll be on the team next year. Hooray. And if not, you can flip him next year at the deadline and someone will take him. The same way you traded a second-round pick for Jeremy Lazan and the Winnipeg Jets traded a second-round pick for Luke Shen. So, again, that's my long-winded Nick Perbix take. Don't know who he is. Everything sounds good, but quite frankly, it sounds too good to be true. 615-737-1025 here on the program. We'll get to your phones. 615-737-1025. If people want to weigh in here, your thoughts on the Predators. And plus, there's another thing that I guess I'm starting to realize about the NHL. Let's hit that next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 again. You did a great job in the press conference. The question was asked about, are you going to fix the defense internally or externally? And you did a great job of not answering that question. I was very proud of you.
Yeah, well.
But I got to know, like, is it really going to be, you know, Yossi and Justin Barron? Because I think Barron played better last year, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think he will. I got to give the young man a chance. I think getting a getting Lazan and maybe Yossi moving over to the right would be a possibility that we're looking at, and then finding a partner for Shea is sort of the goal. Get another right D. The whole league's looking for a right D. I moved some right D last year. But we also have, some internal things that, you know, the Willsbys of the world, and you don't want to hear that. But I think if we can just tweak one more right side D, then we'll be in good shape.
Okay, there you go. That was Barry on our show last week. We now know the answer. That is going to be Nick Perbix. So here's a discrepancy, because, again, I'm trying to figure out, what am I missing here? $2.75 million for a right-shot defenseman who just turned 27 years old. Shouldn't that be a $4 million player if Adam Vingan is going to do a cartwheel over them signing it? Shouldn't he be worth more in unrestricted free agency? And as I was doing a dive through the stats, here's the thing that's crazy. Nick Perbix last year for the Tampa Bay Lightning had an average ice time of 14 minutes and 41 seconds per game. That is as third pair as it gets. Think about some real crap bum Scarbinis the Predators have had. Justin Barron, again, that number is 14-41. Justin Barron last year played 17 minutes a game. Willsby, who Robbie Stanley apparently is in love with. Adam Willsby played, again, the number is 14 plus for Perdix, let's say 15 minutes of ice time, 18 minutes of ice time a game last year. And then when I pulled up the Perdix stats and I went into, okay, let's see, does he play on the power play? I assume that he did not, that he does not play on the power play. He does not play on the power play. I'm fine with that. In three seasons, Nick Perdix has one shot on goal on the power play, which means he's never on the power play. Fine. I don't need him to be on the power play. Josi is going to be on the power play. Brady Shea is going to be on the power play. Tanner Mullendijk is probably going to be on the power play. I don't need him driving the play. I don't need any of that. Shorthanded. So as far as penalty killing is concerned, over 3 years, he's got two career hits on the penalty kill, according to HockeyReference.com. So he's got one shot on goal in the power play and two hits on the penalty kill, which means he never plays special teams. So if you're going to be kind of what it sounds like Barry wants, which is that right-handed partner for Brady Shea, you're going to have to play on the penalty kill. And then I looked at his time on ice in the Florida Panthers-Tampa Bay series. They lost that series, by the way, in a gentleman's sweep, five games. They lost 4-1. And in that, 14 minutes in game one of ice time, 11 minutes in game two of ice time, 13 minutes of ice time in game three, which they won 17 shifts, 21 shifts and 14 minutes in game four. And in game five, again, win or go home, his shifts went down from 23 and 21 in games one and game four to 15 shifts and 11 minutes of ice time. Then I'll play this guy. Now I figured out why he's available for $2.75 million. So he's a third-pair guy. And just like with Nick Hague, they're going to hope that this third-pair guy can play the second pair here. We shall see if you'll be able to do that. But the way everybody else was talking about him, Preds Twitter and Adam, and the way they were talking about him, like it was like, man, they got a potential first-pair defenseman for $2.75 million as a right-handed shot at 27 years old. And I'm like, wait a minute, that does not exist at $2.75 million at 27 years old in unrestricted free agency. Unless this guy lost an arm between the last game he played and today, that does not exist. Now to your phones. 615-737-1025, and your phone lines, as always on this program, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And by the way, I want to say your phone lines. I heard Robbie call them his phone lines today. I said, damn, Robbie owns the phone lines now, which are presented by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joel in Woodbury says, all this tells me with your talk about Nick Perdix is that you don't know hockey. So here's an example. The one right shot defenseman that was kind of on the free agent market that I knew wasn't going to break the bank or anything like that was Cody Ceci. Cody Ceci is always on the Edmonton Oilers or the Dallas Stars, and he ends up in the cup final or the conference final pretty much every year. And so Vingan texted me and said, well, you liked Cody Ceci. That's, wait a minute. I didn't like Cody Ceci. Let me rephrase. He said, you know Cody Ceci. Would you rather have him at 4x4.5? Perbix was making 1.125 per season on his previous contract. Well, again, Cody Ceci, a name I know, and again, I don't think Cody Ceci's great. Cody Ceci plays 21 minutes a game of ice time. You see the difference? He plays 21 minutes. That is a more known commodity. As far as special teams are concerned, Cody Ceci plays on the penalty kill. Does not play on the penalty kill, or at least our Nick Perdix does not play on the penalty kill. So we'll have to see how he goes. But this idea of like, oh man, yeah, no, this is a, we'll see. And Joel says, this just says you don't know hockey. Again, I don't think you could do as much hockey talk as we do on the show if you don't know hockey. And what even defines knowing hockey anymore? Am I Adam or Robbie? No, I'm not. but I do enough of it. I think we can all argue that we do enough hockey on this show. One texter says, I love you, Jared, but if you didn't know who Granlund was before he came to the Predators, you don't watch that much hockey. That comes from Craig. Let me tell you something. I watch every Predators game. The Predators are in the same division as the Minnesota Wild. The Predators traded for Mikhail Granlund. And I remember because they played the Pittsburgh Penguins like the day before the trade deadline. And Jason Zucker, of all people, who would later become a Predator, Jason Zucker scored in that game. And I was like, man, that's a guy who I'd like to have on the Predators. And the next day, the Predators acquired Mikhail Granlund at the deadline. And they also acquired Wayne Simmonds. Same day. I knew who Wayne Simmonds was. They acquired Mikhail Granlund. And I remember thinking, I don't even know who this is. I watched the Minnesota Wild game yesterday. I like Zucker. Who the hell's this? And everybody said, Jared, trust me. Trust me, he's good. I said, okay, they say he's good. And then outside of us, half of a COVID season for the Predators, Granlund was ass cheeks. A-S-S-C-H-E-C-K-S. Ass cheeks. He was. So now I'm just done listening to everybody tell me guys I've never heard of aren't good because are good because the Predators play a team like Minnesota five times a year. So at least I'd have seen him. If he was any good, I would have noticed him. Perbix is a little different because he plays at Tampa. And they don't really, you know, take those kind of players. But for whatever it is, you have to stick by the rule. And the rule is the Granlund rule. And at first, when they traded for Granlund, I was too ashamed of the hockey shamers out there to not say that I had any idea. I had no clue who this guy was. I was ashamed to do that. I didn't want you people to be like, Jared Stillman doesn't know hockey. He said he didn't know who Mikhail Granlund is. And now, because I got duped by it, just like I got duped by Kyle Turris, I'm done getting duped. If I haven't heard of you, I watch enough hockey. You probably stink. Andrew says the Preds hoping that Nick Hague and Nick Pervix can be good defensemen has Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer energy written all over it. I'm not going to go that far. But it does sound like, yeah, this is a great discounted price, at least when it comes to Nick Hague, and I am not taking up for Nick Hague. Again, I don't know who he is either. Mikhail Granlund rule says he stinks. I am not taking up for Nick Hague, but at least they paid him real money. Like, I mean, at least it's like, yeah, we think he's good, so we should pay him real money, which at least is, well, nobody else thinks he's good, but you think he's good, so you go ahead and take the money. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Neil says, everybody sucks, Jared. Is that a me thing? Or are you saying like, oh, everybody sucks to you, Jared? Or are you saying that everybody in free agency sucks? Because if Mikhail Granlund is number four on the free agent hot board as he was this morning at The Athletic, then I'm just going to say, everybody in free agency does stink. If that is the case, if that's the best you got in free agency, because think about all the guys that could have been free agents but either got traded and signed somewhere else as part of the trade, like Marner or Rantanen, or how many guys just decided to stay where they were, even though, well, we didn't think we'd be able to keep them, but we did. The Florida Panthers kept their whole team, which, by the way, I need to correct something I said earlier. I said they were going to buy out all these contracts. Apparently, Brad Marchand cannot be bought out. I did not know this. According to the CBA, because Brad Marchand is over 35 with this signing, the entire cap hit has to be realized in the assigned year if they were to buy out Marchand. So he has to be on their team for the next 6 years, and he's 37. So they are expecting him to be a Florida Panther at 43 years old, which is crazy. 615-737-1025. More of your phones if you want to weigh in here on Free Agency Day. 615-737-1025. And for all the Jared doesn't know hockey people out there, there's one thing that I keep noticing with some of these other moves that are signed across the league. We'll hit on it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
but Victor Arvidsson, who waived his no trade, going to Boston for a future mid-round draft pick. Look at the disappointment on Ty's face.
Why? Just why? 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 That's stupid. Oh, my God. Take him to the cleaners, please. What's the point of having a veteran GM if he does everyone favors all the time? What is the point of that? What is the point? Corey Perry, who is forever years old. He's been around since the dawn of man. You just helped them out. You took on $4 million. Why? And why are you giving up a mid-round pick? Oh, that's so annoying. Stop GMing like it's your first month on the job. Like, I don't get that. You can find a Victor Arvidsson in free agency.
There you go. That was Ty Anderson on 98.5 The Sports Hub as the Bruins traded for Victor Arvidsson. And it's funny, I texted my buddy on that same station when the Bruins traded for Arvidsson, and I said, he sucks. And, I mean, look, Arvidsson was a good Predator, but he was toast 5 years ago. Like, his body, his little tiny body had given out. And apparently he's got to waive a no-trade clause, and they got to trade a pick to get Victor freaking Arvidsson, who had 27 points last year, playing on the same team as Connor McDavid? Give me a break. And I got to tell you, this free agent class is absolute horse crap. When I see some of the guys that are signing today, because all the good players, Sam Bennett decided to re-sign, Mikko Rantanen got traded so that he could re-sign in Dallas, Aaron Ekblad re-signed, Brock Besser today re-signed, Mitch Marner sign and trade. So all the guys that are out there are all bums. Tanner Janot, bum. Thank goodness, what a great trade. Mikael Granlund, when he was on the Predators, bum. Like, if Michael Bunting was in free agency right now, he probably would have gotten $6 million. Because all these guys in free agency are awful. This is a terrible free agent class. And I don't know if this is just how it's going to be, where there's not a franchise tag in the NHL, but teams are just so desperate not to lose their guys that they'll find a way to sign them. Or that they'll make sure they get something in return for everybody or something. But woof, what a terrible, 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 I mean, just terrible free agent class. Dylan and Antioch's all mad about my Mikael Granlund take. Mikael Granlund sucked when he was on the Predators. We could not believe when they got a second round pick from Pittsburgh in exchange for him at the deadline 2 years ago. Says his point total from 2019 to 22 was 63, 56, 80, and 58. Philip Forsberg in those same years, 63, 39, 69, and 50. Absolute garbage take, Dylan and Antioch says. Granlund sucks. Sucks. Where was that caller last year or 2 years ago at the deadline that was like, they should trade a first-round pick for Mikael Granlund? If Granlund didn't suck, he wouldn't be going to his ninth team in the last 5 years. The Minnesota, then he was here, then he got shipped out to Pittsburgh, then he went to San Jose, then he went to Dallas, and now he's going to go to his sixth team. One texter says, I'm not arguing that Granlund was really a top-line guy, but ass cheeks, he was a regular contributor, no? Roughly 10 goals average a year in Nashville. 10 goals! Again, get over wanting Victor Arvidsson and Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith and these freaking bums. You can get those guys anywhere. That's why, again, this draft pick that they had was so important, was because this needs to be the kind of player, Brady Martin, needs to be the kind of player that you can't just get anywhere. I think the Predators dream when it comes to the defensive pairings of one day a top pair of Tanner Mullendijk on the left side and Andrew Gibson on the right side. I think that's their dream. You have to hope that you can't just get that guy anywhere. Here's a guy who I think represents the kind of player that is a worthy addition, that actually is a legit player. Ekholm. You cannot get Matthias Ekholm just out there in free agency. You cannot get that player. So if you want to get that player, you have to trade for him. And anybody better than Matthias Ekholm, you need to trade for. All these other guys with the Predators, I don't care what Granlund did in Dallas. Now, I do think it's worth discussing about guys leaving here and being Dante Fabbro. And I do think it's worth discussing what Dante Fabbro said and why Dante Fabbro sucks so bad here and doesn't suck there. But enough with the Granlund stuff. First of all, there's some sort of isotope in the water in Dallas where a guy leaves the Nashville Predators, goes to the Dallas Stars, and is infinitely better the second he gets there. But God forbid we try to hire the coach that got that out of those guys that couldn't get that with guys that couldn't succeed here. Can't do that one, I guess. One texter says, so let me understand if I understand your Granlund theory correctly. This is not new. Again, in 2019, the Predators traded for Mikhail Granlund. I had never heard of Mikhail Granlund in my life. And I, on the radio, just ignored it and just said, oh, well, they all say he's good, so he must be good. Ryan Porth told me he's good. Jared, trust me, he's good. I'm like, okay, if you say he's good, he must be good. I'll hear you out on that. They traded for Kyle Turris the year before. Everyone told me, no, 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 he's good. I never heard of him. I had heard of P.K. Subban. He actually was good. So everybody tells me Mikhail Granlund's good. Then I watch Mikhail Granlund, again, ass cheeks, when he was with the Predators. And so now if I don't know, I feel like I watch enough hockey that if I don't know who you are, then you stink. Because I do feel like I know enough regular players. In fact, should we do a who he play for later today in the program? Which is what they do on TNT with Charles Barkley at the beginning of the year. Guys move and they say, okay, who does so-and-so play for? Because I think I could probably get, if you gave me real players, you know, no freaking bums, no fourth liners on the Utah Mammoth, but if you gave me like a legitimate solid player, Vingan's tried to do this before. Last year he texted me and said, do you know who Sam Reinhart plays for? I said, yes, he plays for the Florida Panthers, and I know that because he's good. Jake, do you have a player off the top of your head you want to throw out there?
Give me one second. I will find a good one.
Okay, but it can't be some like fourth line Scarbini bum on some team that I'm never going to watch, like Montreal. It has to be like a legitimate top six forward or a legitimate top two pair defenseman. And so I'll give you the break to think about it. 615-737-1025 here on the program if you want to weigh in. By the way, I do remember reading something in The Athletic about how the Penguins general manager got fired over the Mikhail Granlund trade. So for all you boo-hoo Granlund crew out there, give me a break. So Jake will think of his guy, 615-737-1025, plus a philosophical question that I have about the Nashville Predators and where things are today. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.